in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 4, particularly the first clause of it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He, God, is the rock. His work is perfect. This chapter in the book of Deuteronomy is called the Song of Moses. At the end of the last chapter, we read, Moses spake in the ears of the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. It follows on from the law and of the blessings and the curses. And here in this song, Moses exalts the greatness of God and also speaks of the solemnity of rebelling against him. But he begins here in this song, oh, of the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. His doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass. Dear friends, the doctrine of God is very gracious. For it is for the good, the spiritual good, the eternal good of his people. It's a living word. A word that does not return to him void. But it has a gracious effect in the hearts of all those to whom the Spirit applies it. Oh, essential, isn't it, is the rain. The rain, when the seed is sown in the soil, it needs that rain. So there's the germination. Oh, the word of God, yes, it is the good seed to be sown in the ground. And the doctrine, the truth of it, oh, it is, when it's applied, is like that rain, which causes it to swell, to take root downwards in the love of God. His speech distills as the dew. Dear friends, in dry places, oh, and we come, all the Lord's people come into dry places, but that dew just giving moisture sufficient for there to maintain life in days of barrenness and dryness. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. You know, when the showers upon the grass, particularly the mown grass, oh, what a sweet scent there is, isn't there? A sweet smell arises. Oh, that's like prayer, going up to the Lord for his great goodness and mercies. By doctrine. Oh, dear friends, that's thanksgiving, isn't it? For the sacred truth concerning the word of God. And Moses says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. I will publish the name of the Lord. You know that name which was given to Moses, did not our dear friend Jabez Rutt speak of it last week? That name, Jehovah. Or the self-existent one. As it was given to Moses at the beginning of his call to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. God Almighty. Nothing greater, nothing more powerful than the living God, the one God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the triune God. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them, the self-existent one, the one from eternity past to eternity to come, no beginning, no ending. The God of all power and of all grace, yes, and of love immense. Because he declared his name to Moses at Sinai, didn't he? That name of merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. For I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. In spite of all sin. Dear friends, this God is gracious and merciful. His word does not return to him void. He does not change. He is ever the same. And the power of his word and the doctrine is ever the same. And so our text, he is the rock, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Well, we know physically, don't we, what rock is. It's very strong, it's hard, it's stable. It doesn't decay, like many other things do regularly. We read of the everlasting hills in the Word of God. They are made of rock. And we read that those, as they were formed in the beginning, they shall be to the end of the world. The rock. He is the rock. Stability. Strength. Ever there. Sure and steadfast. Not physically, although that is true, but God is a spirit, spiritually. God is a spirit, and he is the spiritual rock. And his work is perfect, his work is perfect. Now the first work we read of God is, of course, his creation. He spoke and it was done. There was the beginning with light. And through those 6 days of creation, all that we know today of the heavens and the earth, they came to pass. And God saw that it was good. No, the scripture says very good. It was perfect. Everything he made, all blended together. It was life. And there was no death. And there was no sorrow. There was no destruction. There was no anger. There was no distress. God saw that it was perfect. It was very good. Until the spirit of evil came in. Dear friends, God knew the spirit of evil would come in because it was prepared for it. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise, does it? No, Adam and Eve, they fell, they were beguiled. And they came subject to death because of their sin, their disobedience to the word of God. And the Lord spoke very solemnly to them concerning, the sorrow a woman would have in bearing children, the fulfilling of his command to be fruitful and multiply, and Adam to have labour, the sweat of his face would he eat bread, against much opposition of the thorns and thistles, and dear friends, how much came against them at that time. And it has been so ever since. And we subject, because we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We are Adam's seed, sinners. But God spoke there in that garden to the serpent. The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. There was the preparation before the foundation of the world. That his son would come to destroy the power of sin, the power of Satan, and deliver a people from the consequence of their sins. That is his eternal judgment of damnation. Dear friends, Christ is in our text, isn't he? He is the rock. His work is perfect. God sending his only begotten Son into this world. What a gift to bear the sins of his people. Jesus his name, for he shall save his people from their sins. Dear friends, this was the perfect work which Christ was to fulfill. There was no other work he came to do. A perfect work that would destroy the power, put away power of sin and destroy Satan as an accuser of the brethren. That a people might dwell in heaven above, with God, with Christ, in that eternal bliss. He is the rock, his work is perfect. Dear friends, that name of Jesus came to save his people from their sins. We read in verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is, he had nothing else in this life except that those whom the Lord gave him. Yes, he had many temptations. He had many trials. He had Satan to tempt him most solemnly. But his portion was his people. Dear friends, all was to be done with these, his people, upon his heart, upon his soul. The purpose of his coming, the will of his Father. I delight to do thy will, O God. They were given unto him. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Yes, not one of them shall be left out. Now, dear friends, who are the Lord's people? His chosen ones. Well, we read here in this verse 9 that Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. There were many people, many generations that came to pass from Adam. We read of them in the very first chapters of Genesis. We read of those who were born through Noah, through Shem, Ham and Japheth. We read of one, Abraham, who was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, constrained by the Spirit of God to leave his household and his father's home and a sojourn in the land of Canaan, with the promise that the Lord would give them that land. Abraham knew God as God Almighty. So did his son Isaac. Ishmael had to go, didn't he? And Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. The scripture tells us, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Oh, this election of God. Dear friends, nothing by chance. Everything ordered, everything sure. The Lord's portion in his people, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. Why was Jacob the lot of the inheritance? Who, through whom Christ would come, the seed of the woman, and they would be declared his people, his favoured people, because he loved them. No other reason. Because he loved them. We read, don't we, that he chose Jacob and his people, not because they were any a great number, or they were worthy of anything of the merit of God, but because he loved them. Now, dear friends, this is the rock. He is the rock, his work is perfect, a perfect love. A love that blots out all sin and iniquity. A love that performs all things that this people cannot do for themselves. Well, what about the New Testament? There's a people there, isn't there? Who are the portion of the Lord Jesus Christ's people, his church. Think of that word of the Apostle Paul to Ephesus, his church there. How they were born dead in trespasses and in sins, going after the things of this world that was all that their heart had interest in and their minds. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved them. When they were, yes, in their sins, he hath quickened us. He says, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. By his great love wherewith he loved us. Whether we're this Jews or Gentiles, the Lord has a people whom he loved. And that love is shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost, and given to them. Dear friends, that applies to us today, doesn't it? That love shed abroad in our heart. That love, coupled with that grace. Oh, by grace we are saved. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The riches of his grace, the forgiveness of our sins, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sin, for love's sake. God commendeth his love, says Paul, toward us, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, dear friends, this is the rock, the work of Christ. His work is perfect. There was not one sin of all that the Father gave him. There was not one sin that he did not bear the punishment of on Calvary's cross. When his soul was poured out unto death, there was all the sins of all his people from the beginning of time to the end of time. And dear friends, that holy, pure, undefiled Son of God, pouring out his soul unto death, satisfied the law, or the punishment due to all those sinners under the law. The justice judgment was fulfilled. The price was paid. The redemption price. His shed blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And so, dear friends, all those for whom he died, they are made perfect. They are made complete in Jesus. They are acceptable to the Father, for their sins are blotted out through his shed blood, the travail of his soul. Oh, dear Francis, it behoves us, doesn't it, to on such love our soul to ponder, to meditate upon it, pleading the Holy Spirit will apply it to our hearts, to our spirit, all that affect our conscience, that we may see our guilt, our failings, our shortcomings, our just desert, and tremble at the word of the curse of God, and to plead with him for pardon. Oh, out of the depths, says the psalmist, have we called upon thee. Oh, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, because he is the portion of his people. He's borne all their sins. There is forgiveness with him. Oh, dear friends, what do we know? What do we know of this Christ, our rock, our sure foundation? He says, upon this rock will I build my church. What rock was that? Well, that wasn't Peter, was it? When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, thou art Peter, yes, meaning a stone. But upon this rock, the truth that he is the Son of God, sent down from heaven, made for little time lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, or to be crowned with honour and glory through that sacrifice for sin, where he would cry out, it is finished. The price has been paid. Oh, how low a state did the dear Son of God come down into, that sinners such as you and me can have a hope of eternal life, to plead with him for pardon. Who can need it more than we? He is the rock, his work is perfect. And through that work, dear friends, although we do not feel it ourselves now, we've ever got the nature of our sin within us, haven't we? But oh, that glorious truth, through the eye of Almighty God the Father, we are perfect. Oh, what manner of love, there's the foundation again, this love. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Oh, the cross. Dear friends, the cross. Oh, that's an instrument of death, isn't it? And dear friends, that's what is our just desert. The cross, death, the punishment of for our sins. But Christ hath gone before us. I love that portion of Said Simon the Cyrene, coming out the country compelled to bear the cross of Jesus, to help to follow him. Oh, Christ at the head, him at the tail, as it were. He didn't have to suffer on the cross, did he? He didn't have to bear the full weight of that cross. No. Christ had borne it for all his people, the punishment of their sins. Ours the cross, the grave, yes. We shall die in the flesh, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because we are sinners in the flesh. And we shall be sinners till we die in the flesh. And after that, the judgment. But ours the skies. I have put away thy judgment, says Jesus. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Oh, dear friends, what salvation? Well, that's the other term, isn't it? He is the rock of our salvation, delivered from the wrath of God which is to come. Dear friends, those are the moments rich in blessing, aren't they, which before the cross are spent, looking unto Jesus, beholding him, looking upon him whom we have pierced. Oh, but there for us, that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, that blood and that water that came from his side. Dear friends, this is the rock, this is the rock where our hope is built upon, of eternal life. The sure foundation stone, as is described in another place. And upon this rock will I build my church. Now, dear friends, his church is made up of living stones. As we read and referred to it, I think, on the Lord's Day afternoon. In the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Living stones. Not dead stones. Living stones. Those who have been, come into the knowledge of this truth, born again. Born of the Spirit, born of God. And they know that their treasure, as the hymn writer puts it, is above. The change of our heart. Oh, the humbling of our heart before him, submitting to his righteousness, casting aside all of our own. Oh, like the Apostle Paul said, oh, that which he once trusted in is now but dung. That he might win Christ. Oh, that change of heart, that renewing of our will, the working of the Spirit to a needy sinner, to become a living stone. And dear friends, that work is so perfect that once that life has been begun in the soul of that sinner, it is never removed. It is never removed. He is the rock, the sure foundation, stone. His work is perfect. My mind just gone to that hymn. We often sing it, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What a foundation. The only foundation. All other ground, dear friends, is sinking sand. Oh, that parable of Jesus concerning the building. Dear friends, that which was founded upon the rock when the storm of death came, it withstood, it stayed. Dear friends, whilst that house was being built upon the rock, there may have been upon that foundation, as Paul says, is it to the Corinthians? Works of wood, hay and stubble. Dear friends, that won't withstand the storm and the fires and will it? Dear friends, those are the things which through the Lord's chastening will, and the Lord's trying of our faith will cause to be removed from us. Oh, we have to learn, don't we, Although he begins this good work within us, the sure foundation, Christ, for the hope of our salvation. Dear friends, as we continue in our lives under the influence of our flesh, everything isn't perfect within us, is it? There may be those things which, dishonour him. We backslide. We turn aside to being tempted by the philosophies of the world. There's a very solemn portion here in Deuteronomy 32, isn't there? Verse 18, of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. You say, how can one forget the rock that has formed us in that new birth, in that hope of eternal life? Well, in verse 15, concerning those of Jacob, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with famine. Dear friends, they had many earthly providential blessings. The Lord had favoured them. In the land, well, yes, it was to come here with Moses. But the Lord said he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Different, they would have affluence. They would have all that they had need of. Oh, dear friends, what a word this is for us today. The affluence of today. The materialism of today, the ease of so many necessities for our bodies, which we have today. We hardly have to think twice where they're coming from, do we? We take so much for granted. And if we don't get them, or if they don't come as we think they should, or if something gets set aside, oh, how it grieves us, how it hurts us. We start murmuring, we start repining. And we can easily value the things of the vanities of this life, necessary though they are for our bodies. Yet we're tempted to value them more than we value the sin-atoning blood of Christ that hath begotten us, the rock that hath begotten us, this redeeming love, the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross, the agony of his soul. What the Lord Jesus went through, that we might have a hope of eternal life. That hope meaning an expectation of eternal life. And we turn aside. Oh, dear friends, let us be on our guard. The Lord will chasten. The Lord will correct us. What a mercy he does. Because he does not let his people go their own way. He is the rock, and he will keep them sure and steadfast up on that rock. Oh, his chastening is not pleasant, but grievous. But in due time, dear friends, it bringeth forth the precious fruit of righteousness, brings them again to where they see, the waywardness of themselves, and brings them back, to where Jesus is the one thing needful, his shed blood. To fall before him again, confessing their sins. And this rock, it's ever there. The solidity of his love, the steadfastness of his love and grace. He pardons a guilty sinner. He shows mercy. Oh, dear friends, there's the throne of grace, isn't there? The privilege of prayer. Where we come through Christ, in the name of Christ, to the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy, grace to help in time of our need. He is the rock. His work is perfect. His blood cleanseth us from all sin, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, my mind just goes to turn to it, to David. You know, David was a sinner, wasn't he? David came to know what it was to be in the depths. Oh, it's Psalm 40. Where he said he was in a great pit, in the miry clay. He couldn't deliver himself from it. But he prayed unto the Lord, and he watched, and he waited. He patiently waited. Oh, he needed the Lord to come. The Lord did come. And when the Lord came in answer to his prayer, he set his feet upon a rock and established his going. Now, rock was Christ. For it was in answer to his prayer, oh, if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. The way everlasting. That way everlasting, that rock, dear friend, was the forgiveness of his sin. And that sure covenant which he spoke of at the end of his days, sure and steadfast, the sure mercies of the Lord to David. God is the rock. His work is perfect. That sinners such as you and me, saved by his grace, shall never fall into the pit of corruption. Then, dear friends, he's worthy to be praised, isn't he? And how he helps and keeps his people all their journey through. He is their keeper. What a testimony David has in that 2 Samuel 22. David says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Saviour. Thou savest me from violence." Dear friends, what a testimony. The Lord was everything to him, wasn't it? The Lord was his all and in all. Why was that? Because the Lord had spoken to him, "I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Oh, he was a sinner saved by grace. Therefore, he trusted in the Lord at all times, as he wrote in his Psalms. Oh, again and again. Oh, I'm poor and needy. Great is mine iniquity, but the Lord thinketh upon me. He is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my salvation, my high tower, my Saviour, my refuge. In him will I trust. Well, dear friends, what is it with you and what is it with me? Is Christ our all and in all? He'll lead you forth by the right way. Or was it Abraham whom the Lord led? Abraham desired to seek a city that had foundation, whose maker and builder was God, that eternal place in glory. Oh, dear friends, what a place it must be, eternal in the heavens, one with Jesus, eternally one. Well, the last words of David, then we must finish. The next chapter, I've just noticed. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." And David said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." Now, dear friends, that's not the covenant of works, that was the covenant of grace. Oh, that was prophesied through Christ Jesus in his day. That law would be put in the hearts of his people, those were to his portion, the truth as it is in Jesus. He will pardon their iniquities, remember their sins no more. made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. And for this is all my salvation. The rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. Then, dear friends, it's ours to fall before him. It's ours to trust in him. It's ours to serve him. It's ours to ever seek his will concerning us. He has promised, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And his people are ever perfect in him to go to that perfect habitation in Emmanuel's land. Dear friends, I pray earnestly that each of us will be there. Amen.